Follow Monmouth Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
The Boathouse Bar and Grill features great food, nightly entertainment, and the best wings in the area. Whether you're watching college or NFL football or they're catering a private party, the Boathouse at 1309 Main Street in Belmar is your football destination. Visit their website at boathousebarandgrill.com. Make sure you like them on Facebook and follow them at Twitter at, what is it again?
Boathouse Belmar.
Boathouse Belmar. There you go.
It's another assist on the day already today. You've hit your quota in the first half. We get back here, second down and about four for Duquesne. First set of 15 minutes in the books. It is Monmouth and the Dukes all tied at seven. Thank you. As Biko will switch ends, both teams will. Monmouth goes back to the 4-3. Quick pass to the outside. King will make the catch. He's got another block on the corner before Kevin Butler will come over and seal the edge. I think it's going to be enough for a first down for Kiss King. His third reception of the day, already close to about 80 yards. We mentioned him leading the nation, 389 yards coming in. Already about 80 so far in the day. He is extremely dangerous. 6'1", 196-pound senior, a junior rather.
You said it, one of the FCS leaders in receiving yards. He's the one that you got to circle on this Duquesne offense.
A lot of weapons for Biko to work with. Four wide receivers set. Another quick pass. This one will be hauled in by Romming, who will get a couple extra yards coming to the near side. McDonough, Butler, and Dumas all there to make the stop. And Duquesne effective right now, kind of dinking and dunking their way down the field. Biko 7 of 9 so far on the afternoon. Just about 120 yards. Doesn't have the one touchdown that went for 55.
Yeah, with the exception of the big play, everything has been near the line of scrimmage. The Duquesne receivers also very good blockers, helping their fellow position mates.
Ho, the single back in the offensive set. He'll get it up the middle. Thompson will close that play down, but not after a gain of about four to leave Duquesne with a third and short. Less than a minute gone by, a little more than a minute at this point gone by, with Duquesne and Monmouth all tied at seven. King will split out this time wide to the right. Dave Thomas, number 11, is checked in as a slot receiver. Romming and Rollins staying to the short side of the offensive left. Biko changing the play. Monmouth making an adjustment defensively. Here come the backers. It is another quick pass to the outside. Missed tackle. Romming stays on his feet. Makes a move with the numbers of the 20-yard line. And then able to bounce forward and get a first down with plenty to spare down to the MU 17-yard line.
And the way that this offense, Matt, is designed, it's for these great receivers, these individual studs on the outside, to make players miss and make plays. That time Kevin Butler missing a tackle near what could have been not a first down, and then eventually Duquesne with it first and 10, Beagle sharp early on.
Randy Morris, number 34, has come in part of a two-back set with Ryan Ho. Morris, a Pittsburgh transfer as a grad student. Biko wanting to throw, has time, now flush from the pocket, rolling to his right. O'Hara giving chase, and Biko will throw it into the steps on the far side to set up second down and 10.
Credit the back line there defensively. Had to do some extra work on that play as Duquesne went play action. And then the pass rush eventually got there, but that secondary, which is going to be tested today as we've talked about, had to cover for about 5-6 seconds on that play and did a very nice job.
McDonough has checked in at an outside linebacker spot. He and Sikowski flanking Tyler Thompson right now. Biko will motion Rollins to the far side, wanting to set up something single-man coverage. Oduhu will make the catch inside the 10, get to the 8. Sikowski there on that tackle. I believe that is going to be just at the first down marker, but a hair short. So third and extremely short right now with 12 and a half minutes to go in this first half.
Game still tied at 7. It was a long Monmouth drive that got a touchdown, and then a Duquesne big play that has us at this 7 all game. We'll see what Duquesne, Matt, elects to do here. They obviously are a pass-first team on this third and very short.
Ho, the single back. He will get it. Stretch play, left side, has the first down and more. Bouncing off the tackles down near the goal line and in for the touchdown. 8-yard score for Ryan Ho, the senior running back, and Duquesne has grabbed the lead here at the 12:09 mark in this second quarter for Ho, his second rushing touchdown of the season.
Just talked about it. Not sure what was going to happen. We've seen a lot of bubble screen, short stuff in this one, but that time they tried the left side, and they're able to get the touchdown as Ho, a very small, diminutive player, was able to wiggle between a couple of tackles and eventually cross that opening stripe of the goal line.
Crimmins on for the extra point to make it a seven-point spread. Tough snap, good hold, and the kick is up, and it is good. 14-7 our score, 12:09 to go in the first half. Duquesne up top. We step out for 30 seconds. You're listening to Monmouth Football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Scala's is proud to support the Monmouth Hawks. For great pizza and more, visit Faz and Will in West End or give them a call at 732-222-8728.
Matt Harmon, Eddie Iacopinti, our good buddy Brian Cedillo back in the studios of the Shore Sports Network. We congratulate Brian, who recently got a promotion. Now the morning producer at New Jersey 101.5, their morning show with Jim Gerhart, part of the Town Square Media family of radio stations.
Well-deserved promotion for Brian, and I still check that morning show for school closings, even though I'm 30 years old.
I hope Monmouth Regionals got the day off. Here's Crimmins with high end-over-end kick. This is returnable as well. Cheney gets it at the two-yard line, coming right up the middle at the 20, and hit and dropped. Hard hit running down the field. Good open field special teams tackle by Greg Clater Jr., the freshman safety from Shaker Heights, Ohio. Lucky that he wasn't able to shake the ball loose that time of Cheney. Monmouth will have it first and 10 at their own 19-yard line.
Yeah, I saw that one coming. Head of steam from Clater Jr., and he met Cheney. Matt, I want to see this Monmouth offense now sustain a drive, move the chains, pick up some third downs, and feed 1-7. Neil Sterling on the near side of the field.
Three-man front, three backers, and at least at this point, Armstead Williams who walks out. So six in the box. Play action to Asante. Hill looking to throw. Cannot connect with Ambush in the flat, and it will bring up a second down and 10. You know, interesting enough, on that first drive that Monmouth had, they had such success on the ground, and in pretty much every ensuing drive after that, then they're unable to get back into that rhythm a little bit.
I think that helped this offensive line start to come together again. Haven't played a whole lot of football together and look to get that again, but behind schedule here with that incompletion on first down, exactly 12 minutes to go in our first half.
You can hear that wind really starting to pick up. Now on second and 10, it will be Asante stretching it out to the right side. Flags are out, one and then two coming back in. Asante's going to have a first down, but as quick as that flag was thrown, this is likely going to be a hold.
One thrown on the line, so the linesman penalty you figure would be a hold. Then one came from the secondary, so this could be an instance where both penalties could be on the offense. Duquesne kind of gets their choice which one they want to accept, depending where they occurred.
I mentioned that the Monmouth offensive line, a little bit different today. Stephen Andes, who started the game at left guard, talked. Brandon Sook, the tight end, called on the hole. And as I was talking with Brian Gabriel, the offensive line coach, he said, expect to see some other guys in there. One of those other guys being the true freshman, Ryan Wetzel, who is into the game right now. Wetzel, a 6'4", 285-pound freshman from Colts Neck High School. He is in the game right now at left guard.
Coaches love what they've seen out of Ryan Wetzel. Very few times will you see a true freshman play on the offensive line here at Monmouth.
Wildcat look here. LaVon Cheney looking to take to the direct snap. He will run off the right side and looking to throw down the field. Ambush the intended target, and Coles was all over that. That'll set up a third down and long now for Mama, third and 18.
Slow developing play there, ran it short side of the field. Haven't seen LaVon try a pass yet, and that time they try second and 18, making it now third and long.
Seen him do it in practice. He has the arm for it, but Didn't seem like he had a whole lot of room to run going into the near side of the formation.
Well, the play didn't develop, and the receiver got jammed at the line of scrimmage, so it was kind of thrown off rhythm from the get-go, third and long.
Yeah, third and 18. Hill has time going over the middle. Ambush had it, and then could not hang on to it as he hit the turf. Coverage by Devin Williams, and MU with a quick three and out, and barring a really solid kick from Ryan Moore, which is certainly possible, Duquesne looking to get the football back in excellent field position.
Getting the football back with momentum. Get a score, then they get a stop. And again, they don't lose at home in non-conference games under Jerry Schmidt. And they're already up by seven. Monmouth needing, Matt, a momentum-changing play here. Either a turnover or having to hold Duquesne, because if not, the Dukes will get it back in very good field position.
Roaming back deep. Low snap. Moore fields it. No pressure. Gets off a decent kick. Roaming looking to return it. Goes back to catch it. At the 40-yard line coming forward, there's Ed Royds to make the special teams tackle right at midfield. And then with the tackle, pushing Roaming into Mama territory at the 49. Good effort by Ryan Moore, who's had to handle a couple of low wobbly snaps today. With 11:15 to go here in the first half, it's Duquesne 14 and Monmouth 7.
Ryan Moore at times looks more like a first baseman out there than he does a punter. He's had to field short hops and skips, and he's done it really, really well. He's got great hands, but after a while, it's going to wear on you, and they need to let him get into some decent rhythm and really get a leg into the football.
11:15 to go with Duquesne up by 7. 14-7 that you score. Bekul now on the plus side of the 50-yard line. Gets it, wants to throw. Quick pass to the outside. That's hauled in by Dave Thomas, who will hop through some Mama tacklers down inside the 35 to the 34-yard line. A game that Duquesne, early on, trailing 7-0. They have come back with a vengeance, scoring 14 straight and on the move here again. 4 minutes gone by in the second quarter.
Monmouth staying base defense here with the Dukes with three receivers. That means a linebacker is going to be matched up on a slot receiver, and that was the case to play before when Duquesne picked up that first down.
Four-man front. Here's the inside carry. It goes to number 20, Cartel Clarity.
On the carry.
He's stopped at the line of scrimmage by Zach Irizarry. Set up second down, essentially 10 here. About a half-yard gain, so second and a long nine, let's say. Monmouth rotating some new players in here on second and long. They will bring in an extra defensive back, which right now is Ed Royds. He will play one of the safety spots up over the top. Irizarry and Leslie off the edge right now. And you're trying to slow something down here, Duquesne. Dukes have trips off to the right. Odohu as the single man to the left. Bekul with time, looking down the seam, wanting Odohu. It is incomplete and will set up now a third and long.
Play started up front, Matt. Zach Irizarry got great pressure on Bekul, had a great bull rush, spin back towards the inside of the field, and he disrupted, I think, the quarterback's timing. He threw it a little sooner than he wanted to, forcing now this third down, 10 minutes to go, second quarter.
Bika will operate with the ball from the left hash mark. Has three receivers up top. Number three, Shabbos Rawlins, the single man to the near side. Monmouth will rush four. Bika with time. Lets it go far side. Big throw all the way across the field and hauled in by Chris King. That one down to the 22-yard line. 11-yard pickup, and it's enough for a first down for the Dukes.
Well, there's the combo. Bekul to King, and King, who came in with a lot of accolades as one of FCS's leading receivers, has continued playing well. And credit Bekul, Matt. That's one of the longest throws on the football field, left hash to right sideline, and he was able to beat Mike Basile to the sideline for the first down.
Two backs sent into the game. Douglas and Hughes flank Bekul, who will come up and change the play to his offensive line. Three wide receiver package, two off to the left, one back to the right. Bekul out of the shotgun. We'll give it here to Hughes, trying to stretch it off the left side. He's dumped in the backfield. That's Darnell Leslie able to wrap him up. That'll be a loss of about three. Set up second and 13. MU's been good on first and second down. It's been third down today, which has been the problem on both sides of the football, offense and defense.
Well, after that first scoring drive, Monmouth had moved it well on third down. Since then, they've been stalling. And then conversely, that's when Duquesne has started picking things up. And they really have done well third, and not just short, but they're picking up third and medium to long as well.
Second down and 13. Just about 9 minutes to go here in this first half. Single back is Douglas, who goes to the right of Bekele, who's got three wide receivers right, number 84, Kevin Enright, the tight end, to the left side of the formation. Monmouth with a late change here rotation-wise. The give is to Douglas up the middle, who will get back close to the original line of scrimmage, set up third and 10. I think Monmouth got lucky there that Duquesne wasn't throwing the football. Didn't seem to be organized in the right spots at the snap.
Yeah, Lakeith Celestine ran all the way from one side of the field to the other when there wasn't any real receivers over there, as Duquesne had three guys to the formational right, and he kind of ran to the other side. Monmouth, as you said, Matt, fortunate there. Again, third and long, have to come up with a stop here.
Yeah, third and 10. This could be four down territory. Ball at the Monmouth 23-yard line. Trips right, single man to the short side of the field. The offensive left is Rollins. Bekele with a long cadence. Gets the snap. Here comes pressure off the edge. It is a reverse pivot out for Bekele, who will run to the near sideline. John Sikowski hits him out of bounds. That's going to be close to a first down anyway, plus now a personal foul coming.
It just seems as though when you're not playing as well as you want, things come in waves like that. So Duquesne, with momentum, picking up presumably a first down or close to it, and then Sikowski with the 15-yard unnecessary roughness late hit. It just seems as though these things just build. That's not a winning play, Matt. We saw Mike Basile last week make a winning play, that interception in the end zone. This team was looking these first couple games to find ways to win games. Sikowski normally not only a smart but a great player. That time not making a winning smart play.
That's a half the distance to the penalty. A half the distance to the goal line penalty as it was inside the 20-yard line. So now it's first and goal for Duquesne at the Monmouth 8.5. 7:57 to go in this second quarter. Douglas staying in as the single back. Bekele again taking his time, calling out the play. Split wide receiver set. The give up the middle is to Douglas. Will spin his way forward, get to the six.
Douglas on the carry.
Dropped in, taken down there. McDonough, Demetrius Smith, tackle and Pat O'Hara all in on that tackle. This is an opportunity for the defense to kind of stop the bleeding here of this game. You know, I think you're in one of those situations, you'll give up three, but not another seven.
Three is a win, no doubt about it, and the defense needs to stand up here and make a play. They've let Duquesne penetrate deep into their territory. Got to come up with a play here.
Receiver to either side, looking for King. Fade pattern in the end zone. King has it. Touchdown. Right up over the top of Lakeith Celestine. A flag came out as well. It's going to be pass interference, I believe, on Monmouth, which will obviously be declined. And MU will be down 20-7 right now with the extra point coming up.
Talked about it coming in. It was the young MU secondary, Matt, who again is incredibly talented against these veteran, really accomplished, good receivers from Duquesne right now. Big time advantage. Bekele and the receivers. That is 21, soon to be 21 unanswered by the Dukes.
Crimmins on for the extra point. Monmouth led 7-0, took the opening drive right down the field. Since that point, everything has completely changed around. Kick is up, and it is good. 21-7 the score. Duquesne leads here. 7:10 to go in the first half. We step out for 30 seconds. Back with more Hawks football. You're listening to the Monmouth football game against Duquesne here on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Back here with 7:10 to go in the second quarter. Matt Harmon and Eddie Acapinti along the way on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network. It is 21-7 Duquesne. MU led 7-0 early in the first quarter. Duquesne has put three consecutive touchdowns up on the board and getting set to kick off here. Back deep for Monmouth, Kamau Dumas and LaVon Cheney. The Dukes with an effective passing attack so far here today. Cheney will field this one just inside his 5-yard line. Go to the far side, hash mark, get out to the 20, out to the 25-yard line. Fumble the football, and it will be Duquesne's ball. couple of players down, but with the turnover as Cheney got popped pretty good. The ball squirting out to the 34, and it has gone from bad to worse here for Monmouth with 7:02, and the Dukes right back on the offense.
We were just talking about during the break, Monmouth in need of a big return on this kickoff. They're in need of a momentum-changing play, and what happens as a Duke is down and being tended to now, what happens is Cheney had a surge, had a burst, and then put the football on the turf. So now everything going Duquesne's way with 7:02 to go in our first half. And, Matt, take a look at these numbers. Beekle, 11 out of 15, 165 yards and a score. King, 4 for 88 and a score. Rahming, 4 for 45. The big names are doing it for Duquesne in this game.
Quick check of the rest of the NEC scoreboard coming up today, including a future Monmouth opponent. Robert Morris will play at Dayton, who was just here last week in Pittsburgh against Duquesne and got beat up pretty good. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff. It'll be Sacred Heart home for Bucknell. St. Francis, Pennsylvania, Youngstown State tonight. Liberty and Bryant getting together. NEC Big South matchup that will be interesting. Bryant into the top 25 this week in the FCS poll for the first time in school history, number 25. Central Connecticut State will play at Dartmouth, who has their season opener. That also a 7 o'clock kickoff. You know, obviously, Pittsburgh known for football, and right down the road there is a game going on that involves the University of Pittsburgh. And at last check, the Panthers were up 7-0 on Iowa. Interesting matchup as Pittsburgh in the ACC now. Iowa part of the Big Ten. That score is now 7-7. With about 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. They play at the home of the Steelers in Heinz Field. Kind of a cool setting for a college football game.
Yeah, where their stadium used to be is where the university built their beautiful basketball facility, the Peterson Event Center, and that's why the Panthers now play downtown at Heinz Field.
Nathan Stone, number 54, freshman linebacker. The player that was down, he's a starter defensively and walking off now under his own power. So, yet again, the Monmouth defense will have to try and answer the bell here a little bit as MU with their back to the wall, trailing already 21-7, and with 7:02 to go, seemingly, at least right now, not much answer for, as you gave the numbers, the Duquesne passing game.
Eagle and crew are doing the job thus far. And, Matt, I know this is the most points Monmouth's been down this season, and really this is the first time they've trailed for any kind of period of time at all this year.
First and 10 for Beekle, looking to go right back to the air. Over the middle, he's got a man wide open. It is the tight end, Enright, who fumbles the football. Monmouth recovering it. There is a flag down. Joe Johnson falling on the football in the end zone. There is a flag down. Let's check the flag and the spot. I think they're going to say Johnson got it at the one. That would be a hard luck for Monmouth if it is, in fact.
And that was a member of the offense downfield. Offense number 84 is covered up by the tight end. The penalty's declined. Result of the play is first down.
So it is a turnover. Monmouth catching a break there. The bad news is that they're going to start inside their own one-yard line, but certainly they'd rather that and have the football back. So Monmouth able to get at least a change in momentum real quick. It was an illegal man downfield, Kevin Enright, who caught the football. He was the illegal man downfield.
He was also the one that put it on the turf, which allowed Joe Johnson to cover it. So there's your slight momentum changer there. Now Monmouth gets the football back. Ball inside the one, down by two scores.
Dangerous play here. Asante will start behind Hill. He's about 7 yards back in the end zone. Now will shift himself to the right of Hill. Long cadence with a play clock down at five. KB will get it. Try and stretch it out over the left side. Gets back to the line of scrimmage, maybe over the 1 yard line for a half yard pickup. Stop made by Sam Martello. Second down and a long nine coming here. Monmouth got to be very careful with what they do.
Second and nine for the Hawks at their own 2 yard line.
Never know. A big play perhaps coming out of the MU end zone. Hill looking to throw. Lets it fly far side. Sterling will make the catch over the 5 yard line. And it will give Monmouth a little bit of breathing room. Out to the 7.5. Certainly a workable third down here, just about four for MU.
Yeah, Sterling with the grab there, slowly getting himself involved.
And
Matt, this is a huge third down conversion here for Monmouth with under 6 minutes to go. Not just to try to get points on the board, but let the defense rest a little bit more than they've had to.
Duquesne showing blitz. Now they'll just rush three. Sterling on the fade pattern, trying to go up and get it. And I believe he held on to it. What a great catch by Neil Sterling right around the 25-yard line. He went not around, but basically through Malik Shigog, the NEC Rookie of the Week from a week ago. That was a great catch.
Great catch and a great throw by Brandon Hill. He had to throw that so early, and those two, you can see the chemistry there.
Here's Asante up the middle. KB, not much to work with as he gets to the 32-yard line. That's a gain of three to set up second down and a long seven coming up.
You look back, that kind of play, Matt, is going to be, if Mama's able to get a score out of this drive, that's one of those big ones there. With the third down and just the unbelievable individual effort, you know what I'm going to say? Don't just do it one time. Keep going that way.
Sterling out now. Sumlin, Suk, and Vallis all off the left side. Davenport stays near sideline to the right. Asante will shift himself to the left now of Brandon Hill. Duquesne again showing blitz. Here they come. Asante inside zone carry to the left. Gets back to the line of scrimmage. Dumped there by Radzanias. No gain to set up third down and long. MU has been unable to reestablish the run game that was so effective in that first drive.
Just going to say the same thing, Matt. That offensive line really looked good on that opening drive, paving holes, picking up third downs, and now the Duquesne front has apparently made whatever transitions, they've made whatever adjustments they've needed to, because they are all over the MU rushing attack.
Andes is back in at the left guard spot. He's been alternating series with Ryan Wetzel. Four wide receiver package for the Hawks, three left, one right. Here comes Duquesne again on the blitz. Hill hangs in there looking for Davenport on the near side, and nothing there for Davenport. As good coverage laid on by Trenton Coles. That's a nice problem to have for the Duquesne defense. You get a guy who was a player at Pittsburgh who basically comes in and immediately can almost take away half the field.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, obviously there's schemes and concepts, but you could always put a corner out there and say, hey, you got to cover that guy, make sure he doesn't catch the football, and that's what Coles did there. Throw was high, intended for Davenport.
Bobby Gustine is back deep, number 82, the 20-yard line. Good snap this time for Moore. Gets off another good kick into the wind at the 20. Gustine will field it, running off the right side, fumbling the football. And Duquesne, I think, got it back. The hit by Jake Morrow, one of the team captains, jarred the ball loose. It'll be spotted inside the 20 around the 19-yard line. Some pushing and shoving going back and forth. At the very least, Eddie, with 3:58 to go, Monmouth has flipped the field a little bit, starting that possession inside their one. Now Duquesne has it inside their 20.
Yeah, it seemed as though that Monmouth team had their back really to the wall for the majority of this quarter, as you said. Now you give your team a little more room to work with and try to get the football back. You take a look out there, some new faces in on that defensive secondary. I see Teddy Martinez now in at safety as well, so secondary guys shuffling in and out.
And Marcus Leslie has taken over the corner spot for Lakeith Celestine. Is having kind of a tough afternoon. First down and 10. Here's the inside carry. It'll be Ryan Ho. Thompson and Sikowski make the stop about 5 yards over the line of scrimmage. It'll be second and 5. Duquesne here with 3:45 to go. That dangerous core of wide receivers. Chris King will come this time near sideline to the left. In the slot to the left, Devin Romming. Martinez has Romming and Leslie matched up right now with King. Let's keep an eye on that one. Marcus Leslie, the true freshman. Beekle taking his time with the cadence. It'll again be Ho, and again defended well here. 1 yard pickup. Smith and Leslie got Ho as he came across the line of scrimmage. Set this now third down and a long four coming up with just about 3 minutes to play in this second quarter. It's Duquesne 21, Monmouth 7. Three wide receivers set again. Tight end set to the right side of the formation as Beekill barks out the cadence with 15 now on the play clock. He'll change things up. He has Ho in the backfield. It is Rollins, the near side wide receiver. Romming and King up top. in a two-receiver set. Bekele looking that way, wanting to go down the field, looking for Romming, who makes the catch. Up over the top of Basile, who had pretty good coverage, and down inside the 40 to about the 39-yard line. That's a solid gain. That one will go for 35. The coverage was there, and sometimes you have to tip your cap. Devin Romming, good wide receiver, the senior from Miami, Florida.
Yeah, well, that's a couple of times we've had to say that in this first half. Basile was right there.
Quick flare pass to the outside. King gets it. Bounces off of a couple tackles. Martinez and Leslie will corral him, but not after a gain of close to 8 to the 31-yard line.
Second and 8.
That defensive mammoth has been on the field a lot here in this first half. Figure out a way right now to stop the bleeding and at least go in 21-7.
Not the case in the first quarter when Mammoth held the ball for 10 minutes, but it's been the case all of this second quarter. Mammoth has really not sustained any drives in Duquesne. With this controlled passing attack, Bekele now up to 247 yards.
Bekele has found the rhythm for sure. Here's the give to Ho, looking for the first down, falling forward to the 29-yard line. I believe it's going to be just enough to get Duquesne a first down. Bekele has been good for sure. His completion percentage, darn near perfect, 15 of 19 for 247 yards. And two touchdowns. The referee will take a look at this one. Haven't brought the chains on quite yet. Right at the sticks, and there they will bring things on.
We knew coming into this contest this afternoon that this was the matchup. It was Duquesne's passing attack against this Mammoth secondary, but that's just, don't put it on the secondary. It's got to also be on that front defensive line. You've got to get pressure on a quarterback to try and disrupt throwing rhythm, as after the measurement, it is a Duquesne first down. And this is by far the best offense that Mammoth has seen this season. Delaware State, Wagner were nowhere near as explosive as Bekele and Romming and King and this Duquesne team.
First and 10 for Duquesne at the Hawks' 29-yard line.
With the first down, it's at the Mammoth 29. Clock moving with a minute 35 to go. King in motion across the formation, sets up, trips to the right. Ho inside again.
Ho on the carry.
1 yard pickup to the 28-yard line. Masick there to make the tackle with Demetrius Smith. I think this has kind of played into the Mammoth defense a little bit as they've been able to slow the run game down.
Yeah, and I'm not sure why Duquesne would take the foot off the gas. 21 unanswered. They're kind of content to let the first half clock kind of wind down, maybe try a field goal.
Four wide receivers set. Bekele looking over the middle. That catch is made and hauled in with a flag coming in late. Dave Thomas will make the catch. Minnick there to make the tackle. Ball spotted at the 24-yard line. It's about a 6-yard pickup. Let's listen in.
So there you go. Eric Masick with a roughing the passer call, which would have forced a third and medium, now an automatic first. Mammoth for two games was so good at making winning plays, not beating themselves. And now after the Sikowski 15-yarder a couple of drives earlier and that Masick penalty, those are just bad mental mistakes that you cannot have if you're trying to come back into a football game.
Penalties have been a problem for this team. 17 in the first two games and a couple of big personal fouls here in this first half. So it sets up now a first down and 10 from the Mammoth 12-yard line. Inside of a minute to go with Bekele trying to get right back to work. Looks left, wanting to throw. Double clutches, goes down the middle of the field. And the intended target was Chavis Rollins. Incomplete. We'll have, I believe, a defensive hold call on Marcus Leslie.
And there you go. Another penalty. Just, he can't even finish the point that MU, and we know there's more of an emphasis on contact in the secondary, but that's, you get 5 yards. After that, you got to let go, but penalties aiding this Duquesne drive. They didn't need any help before, and now they're trying to add their fourth unanswered score.
What you're seeing is the picking apart a little bit of what has been a strength for Mammoth, the depth and athleticism of their secondary, but they have not played an offense quite like this with the experience, speed, and talent of this wide receiver core of Duquesne. Split back set as Randy Morrison is the fullback. Wanting to throw, Biko goes in the flat looking for Ho, who had he caught it, might have scored, couldn't hang on to it. Minnick there on the coverage. It'll set up second and goal from the Mama 6.
Well, this is huge.
Matt.
Absolutely huge. 46 seconds to go. You got to hold Duquesne to three here. Can't allow a touchdown.
Biko will again have a two-back set. Two receivers, Thomas and Roming. Go to the left side. King up top to the right. Biko working the play clock down. The game clock has stopped after the incompletion. Fade pattern in the end zone. The intended target here was Roming, and that time Marcus Leslie had the coverage. It falls incomplete to set up third down and goal from the six.
Now I'm going to take a look at that front format, not the secondary per se. I want to see Mammoth's defensive line get some pressure on Biko, who has had a clean pocket to throw the football really all afternoon. You have to get some heat on him. Make him maybe rush a throw a little bit here, especially on this third and six.
Mammoth with their starters up front, Smith and Masick in the middle, Leslie and O'Hara on the edge. Ho will motion out of the backfield, empty things out. Two receivers left, now trips up to the right. Biko saw something he didn't like. He'll use a timeout with 42 seconds remaining in the first half. We'll step out as well. Duquesne 21, Mama 7. Hawks trying to play bend, don't break right now towards the end part of this first half. We'll step out for 30 seconds. Back with more Hawks football right after this quick timeout on the Shore Sports and Mama's Digital Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Big stage of the game here. 42 seconds to play in the first half. Mammoth already has dug themselves a 14-point hole. Trying to hold things now, however, on third down and goal from the six for Duquesne. Man in motion is Rollins across the formation from left to right. Bekele looking to throw, goes over the middle. That one batted away. Could have been intercepted. The seal there on the coverage. The intended target was Thomas. Now sets up fourth down, and on will come the field goal team for Duquesne. You hate to give points up, but certainly at this stage of the game, the way it's gone, three is much better than seven.
Great job. Win by the MU defense there. You got to keep him out of the end zone. Basile with a nice play. He was able to turn, locate the football, Matt, would have kept Duquesne off the scoreboard. But you'll take this with 38 seconds to go in the first half. And this is big because I believe Duquesne will get the football back to begin the second half. So that was a must play there.
Rich Bukarski, the holder, on for the hold of Austin Kremens, one of the best kickers in the NEC. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up. It is right through the uprights and good. That a 23-yarder for Austin Kremens to make it 24-7 with 36 seconds to go. Just a reminder, stick around at the half. We'll go through scores, stats, and a halftime interview with Mammoth Sports Information Man and in charge of communications for the football program, Greg Viscomi. It's usually a segment not to be missed.
I know Greg adamant wanting to discuss, as well he should, the new intricacies of the newly released, the newly named Mammoth Digital Network, which will include a heavy presence on the ESPN3 platform. Big news going on for the athletics department and Matt and myself. It's a great thing moving forward, and we're going to get Greg's behind the scenes with how that whole thing went down at halftime, and then hopefully also, Matt, some analysis with how the Hawks can get back in this game, playing really flat football through the first 30 minutes of this road contest.
Which is so strange because of how they started. Started red hot with the ball, went right down the field and scored. Usually if you are flat, you just start flat. Mama started hot and kind of went backwards from there. 36 seconds to go. It'll be Crimmins set to kick off.
Big kick return here would do well with three timeouts. 36 seconds to go. Dumas is explosive. He's back there with Cheney.
Cheney fumbled the last one. This one an end-over-end job. It'll be Cheney to field from the 4. Out to the 15, to the 20, 25, 30. Gets to the 35. Good return out close to the 40-yard line. Cheney, Wayne Capers will make the stop. Cheney on the season, a long of 52. Dumas had that long of 84. It's been a strong suit for MU overall. First coming in today in FCS football with a kick return average of over 34.5 yards per attempt.
I know that they split the field between Cheney and Dumas, and wherever the ball goes, that individual takes the lead. I want to see Kamau Dumas return a few more kickoffs.
From the 38-yard line, it'll be Hill rolling here to the right. Here comes pressure, looking to throw, dumping to the near side. Richards will catch it, and it will be ruled as a completion. Well, juggled in it for a second, but good enough to get it to the 46-yard line on a gain of 8.
Nice catch by Thad on the outside there. Monmouth moving. He also got out of bounds with 22 seconds to go. And again, Monmouth with their full complement of timeouts.
Duquesne had an extra player on. They just ran off. Hill on second and two. Steps up in the pocket. Look out from the backside. He is hit and dropped. Dano Driscoll, who has had himself a whale of a football game, had three pass deflections in one series and now a sack. Hill will lose about four. Ball pushed back to the 42-yard line where it will be third and six. Monmouth will use a timeout here with 15 seconds remaining, and Duquesne up 24-7.
So those couple of things that we're keeping our eye on in pregame in the first half, it was the Duquesne skill against the Monmouth secondary and also that now rebuilt Monmouth offensive line, Matt. And at this point, I know the score would obviously dictate the following point with it being 24-7, but the clear winners of both of those battles in within the game right now would go to Duquesne. Their front seven defensively with O'Driscoll and company have been very good. Their receivers have been very good. And those are our two areas. Now, Monmouth needs to try and take advantage of what they do well. Monmouth on the outside is very explosive and very good, but it's tough to exploit that when you don't have time to throw the football. But that said, I think Hill held it a little too long, that last play. You go pat, when you hit your left hand hits the ball, if no one's open, you got to throw it away.
Hill had come into this game sacked just once through the first two. With 15 seconds now on a third down and six. Here again comes pressure. Again, Hill will have to step up. Look to go down the near side. Wanting ambush, who catches it, but was out of bounds.
Hill's pass intended for ambush.
Close on the near side for ambush, who did well to adjust to it, but was clearly out of bounds.
Yeah, good coverage on the outside. Nice arm strength by Hill. And as you said, ambush caught it, and that right foot came down out of bounds. Only 8 seconds to go here, and Monmouth will bring on the punt team. I was even thinking, well, maybe no harm in just tossing one into the end zone. Brandon's got the arm for it.
Roming will go back deep. Await the kick of Ryan Moore with 8 seconds to go in this first half. Monmouth certainly was some stuff to talk about in between quarters and at the halftime intermission.
Flag on the play.
Flag thrown.
Might be delay a game.
Too much time. Let's listen in here for just a second.
Play clock read zero when I looked over.
Offense number 94. 5 yard penalty remains. Fourth down.
The thing that scares me, Matt, about this is the long snapping has been very shaky this season. You're even better off letting Brandon go back and just heave it downfield pre-penalty now, because anything that goes wrong, Duquesne can fall on the football and try a field goal potentially, or worse.
Evan Ruane is the long snapper. Low one, but more able to handle it easy. It will bounce over the top and roll down. The clock will expire here as well to zeros, and Duquesne will head into the locker room with a 24-7 advantage over Monmouth. MU started hot, went up 7-0 since that point. It's been Duquesne to have the advantage. They lead it 24-7. We step out here and take a two-minute timeout when we come back. Scores, stats from around the country, and more in-depth with this one and our halftime interview coming up as well. Duquesne 24, Monmouth 7. You're listening to Hawks Football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Network.